everybody, welcome to the intro to Cole Podcast.
What?
It's the introduction.
Yay!
First off, let me introduce myself. My name is Armando. We don't have to do introductions, you guys know who I am. So we just wanted to give a little bit of pre-thing, because this week, the week this episode comes out, I will be in Chicago, Illinois.
Yay!
I'll be there doing some shows. So far I have 3 shows booked, but I'm gonna get on a few more. So if you want to come see me do stand-up in Chicago, you can follow me on Instagram at Mondo Does Stuff, M-A-N-D-O Does Stuff, and I'll post about more shows. But as of now, I got 3 of them. Thursday, I'll be at Hamburger Mary's in Oak Park at 8 p.m. Saturday, I'm doing Blackout Diaries at Under the Gun Theater at 10 p.m. That's right by Wrigley Field? Boy, I wish I knew more about sports. Saturday as well, I'll be at the Comedy Clubhouse at 11 p.m. So come to any of those shows. And like I said, follow me on Instagram to see where I will be in addition to those shows.
And if you will not be in Chicago, if you'll be in the Los Angeles metro area, I will be at Barney's in Pasadena on the 24th, the day this comes out, at 9:30 p.m. Come say hi.
Well, hey guys, it's me, Andrea. You probably tell by my voice that it's me. The day this comes out, Monday, September 24th, I will be at Genghis Cohen at 8:30 p.m. And I have some more shows next week, but I'll post about them on my Instagram.
Thanks, Armando. I can tell it's you because of your voice. so yeah, thanks so much for tuning in. And now, let's get to the show.
Yay!
Cult Podcast features adult themes and graphic descriptions of violence. Listener discretion is advised. Now please, enjoy the show.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
For the purposes of this podcast, we define a cult as organizations that rally behind an entity or leader who espouse beliefs outside the norm.
Organizations that require physical or monetary sacrifice as a condition of membership.
Organizations in which the doctrines followed by the leaders are different than that of the followers.
Organizations in which isolation is encouraged either by commune living or by a policy of disconnection from outside relationships.
And organizations that actively recruit new members. All cults might have some or all of these traits, and as always,
these are our opinions.
Thank you for tuning into Cult Podcast. I'm Paige Wesley.
And I'm Armando Torres.
And with us we have...
Andrea Gazzetta!
Yay!
And it's my week. This week we are covering, long awaited, this has been requested a couple times, realism?
Yeah,
I'm going to question my pronunciation all day goddamn long.
Now, is realism, if I'm not wrong, this is the religion that is based off of hobos who ride the rails.
No. Very
incorrect. No, this is a religion based off of porn movies where they
closer.
They rail that pussy. Is that it?
It's closer. We'll get to it. No, this is based off of Lord Rael, who we will get to.
Oh.
Oh, he's a lord.
Right off the top, some shout outs. We are not the first podcast to cover realism. Last podcast on the left has done it. In their very early days, they did kind of a short episode on it. But more importantly, Oh No, Ross and Carrie did extensive realism episodes as well as videos. They've also been to a realism convention. So if you are super interested in this, please go listen and watch their videos because they are amazing. Highly recommend, cannot recommend it more. It's so great.
This is a podcast?
Yes. So Oh No, Ross and Carrie is another podcast where they join cults.
What?
And they'll report back on it.
That's awesome.
They're great. They're super great. Highly recommend. We share a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Good.
Meanwhile, good. Fucking Scientology won't even let me join. Just walk in that joint.
You're too dumb.
They're like, what's up, dummy? Assholes.
Realism has been reported on by all of our local news because there is a very vocal local chapter. So KTLA, CNN, NBC, etc. They made some waves in the early 2000s. We'll cover it as we get to it. But most importantly,
very local chapter, yeah, there's about, of these yokels.
They're very a vocal, LA.
Local yokel this, chapter.
This is about as local of a crazy UFO cult as we can get.
Well,
they're like Hollywood.
Okal dokal.
One of the main sources I used was their own website.
Of course.
Yeah.
And their own videos, because if there's one thing that Raelians love, it's fucking YouTube. Like, there are like hundreds, thousands of videos made by Raelians on YouTube, and they're all fucking 18 minutes long. Like, they're the worst.
Is Raelians just the... Is that just real and aliens together?
It's R-A-E-L.
Oh, okay.
And the E has an umlaut over it. Okay. So Rael, Raelian.
How fun.
Yeah.
Stupid foreigners, get out of my planet.
Oh, you're gonna fucking love where this guy comes from, and I will get to it in just a sec.
Also, so they're aliens quick, on both levels.
When you say... Good one. When you say that they love YouTube, do you mean they get, like, their scripture from YouTube? Are they like,
no.
And that is when Lord 42069ers did say...
That we were gay.
And secondly, first...
somebody one time on YouTube called me a fat unfunny sloth. And to cheer me up, Jake bought me gummy sloths. Okay.
So, I didn't mean it as an insult when I typed it out.
So for an excerpt of what these videos are like, because we don't have time to watch any of them and they're all pretty much bullshit and nonsense, they're usually interviews by like web TV, like, you know, those like fake web news things that you stumble on every once in a while and you're like, I just want to see the Beyonce video. Why do I have to listen to you talk about it? Stuff like that. And they'll send people to do interviews, and the interviews are just absolute nonsense. It's basically like, here, I'll play a section of it for you.
Cool.
And I'm just gonna drop you right into the middle.
Yes, please.
I was lucky enough to not been indoctrinated too heavily with one thought process and free to make my mind. So anyway, at that point, I contacted the Raelian movement in Germany. I then proceeded and went to what we now call happiness academies. At that time, it was called a meditation awakening seminar. So I went to that seminar. Rael was there at that time, and Raelians from all over the world. It was in Switzerland. And I did a week of a meditation seminar. And there was where the teachings, the values, and the real philosophy was brought to life by meeting other people that were happy, that were balanced, that were in harmony, that were about spreading love and spreading a message of peace across the planet, which was the Elohim's message. My understanding truly of who the Elohim were, how I could actually even fathom them in my mind, didn't come for actually a good 5 years.
So that video is 33 minutes and 37 seconds long.
Oh, God.
I have watched the entire thing. I will not punish you with it.
This is, of course, Germany is the place that has a happiness academy. That's the place.
That's just one of their many outposts.
Oh, my God. That's, of course, the Germans would be the one where they're like, no, you are smiling wrong.
My favorite part of that video that, unfortunately, our listeners can't see and only Andrea could really see is behind her is a PowerPoint presentation that has no correlation to what she's saying for the entire 33 minutes. And if you go and watch Ross and Carrie's video where they went to the actual convention, they bring this up too, and it was something that I noticed in every single Raelian video I would find. Raelians fucking love PowerPoint.
Ooh.
And hate notes. Because
hell yeah.
Every single video has a PowerPoint of nonsense that just doesn't track. There's no like order to it, and then they're talking about something completely different. And Ross and Carrie at the convention they went to would sit through seminars where the guy just basically would talk top of the dome, no preparation, with a PowerPoint behind him that had no connection.
Sounds like art school.
They do it constantly. It's like their favorite thing to do.
This is just like a scene
hysterical.
From a movie where they're just like, next we are going to talk about how to be happy. And then it just pops up and it's like, sometimes we're sad. It's like, did I say happy? I meant sad.
They don't even refer to the PowerPoint.
What?
It's like they don't know what's going on.
Why not just put like a Windows screensaver behind you, dude?
Or just don't have a screen. Like, it's almost like an Impractical Jokers episode gone wrong.
Oh my god.
It's amazing.
Miss, I do not understand. How else am I supposed to do a star wipe if I cannot have my PowerPoint?
What's a star wipe?
It's where it's a star and it goes across the screen and it is a magnificent transition from one slide to another.
From like old iMovie and Power... Ooh. Oh, jeez. Okay. So...
Deep cuts. I am German realism. Thank you.
You don't sound German at all. But oh, no. So, because none of their talks ever make sense and none of the PowerPoints make sense, it's very difficult to nail down what the fuck they're ever talking about, but I'm going to try.
Oh, so, this sounds like people who listen to our podcast.
Yeah, you know. So per the Raelian's website, at the age of 27, Claude Vorillon, also now known as Rael, was living his passion as a race car driver and journalist.
What the fuck?
Not even the weirdest part. That was to change December 13th, 1973, when on his way to work, he had the UFO encounter that transformed his life forever.
On his way to what? Race car driving or journalism?
We'll get to it. From that day forward...
Don't you hate traffic?
From that day forward, he's toured the world recounting his astonishing experience in media interviews and conferences. We'll hear his version of that story in just a second because it's only about a minute and a half long. But Lord Rael, we'll start with him. Claude Maurice Marcel Vorillon was born September 30th, so his birthday's coming up, 1946. He was born in Vichy Allier, France.
No strong opinions either way.
So he was raised in the home of his maternal grandmother, who was an atheist. His father was like culturally Jewish, and his mother was a devout atheist. So he was raised with basically no religious beliefs in the home. But they did send him to a Catholic boarding school. And he
more like a Catholic boring school. Fucking roast it. I roasted you, Catholicism. Fuck you.
Realistic snoring sounds. He attended a boarding school and he caused a scandal by taking communion before being baptized, which is a huge thing in the Catholic Church. It's very disrespectful.
I've done it all the time.
I know. So his parents withdrew him from the boarding school and put him into a different school. At the age of 15, he ran away from the second boarding school they enrolled him in and hitchhiked to Paris, where he spent 3 years playing music on the streets in cafes and cabarets, kind of like R. Kelly.
It's not good when somebody can read your origin story and go, you know, like R. Kelly.
I will say, so this is roughly 1960 at this point. Different times.
Yeah.
This story is pretty common for many cult leaders who were alive at this time.
That's fair.
You know, because like, the same happened to essentially Charles Manson.
So this happened in 1960, you said?
He was born in 46, so he's 15 now, so 1959.
So this was happening in 1959.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if this story was a girl, it would roughly be 55 years too old for R. Kelly.
Yikes.
If you. R. Kelly was alive in the 60s, he would just be topping out that age range. While playing music on the streets, he met a man named Lucien Maurice, who at the time was the director of a national radio program, although I wasn't able to find episodes of it, but that seemed to be like accepted across the board.
That name sounds like he's a mime villain.
It does. So he signed a record contract and became a rising teen pop star on the radio. He changed his name to Claude Seller and released 6 singles. He released like an EP. And that I was able to find, yes. So I have it for you to listen to right now.
For sure, I thought you were going to say this was fake.
No. So that was released in 1967. That was basically his job for quite a few years. He was a, you know, young teen sensation.
He's handsome.
That album, the album is called Monsieur Votre Femme Me Trompe, which translates roughly to, Sir, Your Wife Cheats on Me. But I think there's something lost in translation. Tromper is a verb meaning to deceive, lie, or cheat. So when I originally read it without, like, before I put it through the translator, I read it as, man, she lied to me, or as, like, an imperative, like, a directive, like, she lied to me, and Monsieur is basically us as the collective audience. So who knows?
Two things.
It's a weird name.
First of all, I hope it literally translates to the term, I fucked your bitch.
It may be I fucked your bitch.
Secondly, I think it's really funny that the French word for lie and cheat is awfully similar to the word Trump.
A little bit.
Trompe. Trompe.
His biggest hit song was Le Miel et la Cannelle, which was honey and cinnamon. I couldn't find that particular song, but I could find other stuff.
I think it goes
album.
Like this. Hey, honey and cinnamon. Hey, I...
With a lot of like, because it's French.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay, sure.
Fucking dumb language.
So he was saving up money from his record sales to buy a race car, a dream he had since he was a young boy.
What?
However, the guy that owned the radio program that was playing his songs suddenly committed suicide in 1970.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So in 1970, at this point, he's 24, I think, if I'm doing my math right. No, he's 34, right? He was born in 1946. No,
and
24.
He's, yeah. And he's 70?
He's 24, 1970.
Yeah.
So he's 24. At this point, he just, quote, decided to work as a sports journalist. I love it. You can just decide to do that.
Do you know how wonderful your life has to be where you can say the sentence, oh, no, my boss killed himself, so now I can't be a pop star to save up for my dream of being a sports driver. I have to just be a sports journalist now.
Right. Right, and he did it to gain access to the world of racing.
Oh.
And at this point, he met his first wife, Marie-Paul Christini. She was a nurse. They moved out of Paris, and he started his own publishing house, which, again, like, that means he had some money. And part of me is just like, how much did a race car cost? That you were like, oh, I can start a business, but I can't buy a car.
Race cars are hella expensive. They're all custom, and to get a decent one, there's so many modifications.
But this is 1970.
Still, though.
It's just really, like, the fastest car.
Yeah.
I could bring a Prius back there, and they would have been like, what is this? One the machine!
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's like, even if, like, let's say it cost five times more than a super expensive car. Let's say this car cost $250,000 mm-hmm. in today's money. Starting a business, like a successful business, costs so much more than that.
But you can, like, if you're doing a business, you can get investors and have other people
potentially. Kind of. He started it as a startup, which I'm guessing would mean he had some sort of venture capital.
Also, I think you guys are overlooking this. It's France money, so it doesn't make any sense.
That's true. At the time, this would have still been francs because the euro was not around yet.
Yeah, basically over there, you're just like, hi, I'd like a LaCroix. And they're like, that'll be two silver things and a baguette, please.
LaCroix was made. Made in the Midwest.
Nope. I refuse to hear it. It's okay. A Frenchy noise.
Whatever. So he created a sports car magazine entitled Autopop. The first issue was released in May of 1971. So one of the tasks for the new startup, I also love that he says, like, the tasks for a new startup. I'm like, you created this company. It's not a task. You're just doing what you want.
Everything's a task until I get my race car.
But as part of this position, he could test new automobiles, which enabled him to enter the motor racing world. So he did get to become a racer for a little while. So according to his first book, Le Livre qui dit la vérité, the book which tells the truth, he had an alien visitation on December 13th, 1973. So only 2 years later.
Look, makes
sense. I'm going to tell you, man, I really didn't believe that alien shit. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's the Book of Truth. They can't put it in here if it's not true, man.
In a secluded area with a French volcanic crater, which, by the way, I didn't know that there was a crater in France, but apparently there is. That's like a real thing.
That sounds...
It's grassed over, like it's a dead volcano, basically. He says an extraterrestrial being came out of a craft that had descended gently from the sky. He told him in French that he had come for the sole purpose of meeting with him. Ryall said that he was given a message by this alien and told that it was his mission to pass this message to the people of Earth. So I actually have Ryall telling us in his own words.
Hey, man, I heard you're a sports journalist. Would you be interested in covering UFO racing?
I was a journalist and I was going to my office at about 9 a.m. in the city of Clermont-Ferrand, in the center of France. And then I went to a volcano named the Puy de la Solla in the mountain. I didn't know why I had this strong feeling to go to this place. And when I arrived in the volcano, I said, why am I there? I have a lot of work to do in my office. And then I saw this flashing light in the sky, very strong. And slowly appear something like a bell made of very shining silver metal, slowly coming down without any noise. So I was so happy to see that because I said, wow, that's what people call a UFO and it will disappear. And I was sure of that. But then it came slowly come down and closer to me. It was maybe 7 meter diameter. And a trap door was open under the craft. And then I realized, wow, if it opened a trap door with a stair on it, somebody will come outside. So maybe it's dangerous to be there. So I was ready to run away, but I wait a little, say, I want to see. If I see any gun or anything looking dangerous, I will run away, but I wait. And I saw a small man coming outside. First thing I was watching was hand. Is there a gun? Nothing, empty. And then he was walking toward me, and the face was so full of love, so peaceful, and like I felt love. And that was the beginning of the story.
So that is his account of that day, where he basically saw aliens.
I was just waiting for him to go, yeah, so you know, just like a typical day for me, really.
His book states that advanced human scientists from another planet with 25,000 years of scientific advances created all life on Earth through DNA manipulation. DNA and the science of DNA is going to be very important later. They get real into it. So
they come to me and they like, we are so advanced in our technology. And I was like, cool. I wonder what kind of race car they have there.
He wrote that some 40 or so prophets in Earth's history were sent by aliens that call themselves the Elohim. Now, a little note on the name Elohim. It's from Hebrew origin. It's a Hebrew word. It's a grammatically plural noun for gods or deities in biblical Hebrew, although in Hebrew, within the religious writings, basically in the Torah or what we would now call the Bible, when referring to the Hebrew god, Elohim is usually understood to be grammatically singular. But he's saying that that's the name of these aliens, and that every prophet we've ever known, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, were one of these aliens. That's basically their belief.
So Jesus, what was it? Jesus,
Muhammad, Buddha,
Kendrick Lamar, all of these people are Elohim. Sent from Elohim. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. He was given the Ryall said he was given the mission of informing the world of humanity's origins and building a residential embassy in neutral territory for the aliens to land and live among us.
Okay.
This becomes the driving force of the organization.
He wants to build a hotel?
Yeah, basically. An alien
Men
hotel.
In Black style.
Yeah.
I was thinking, what is good name for hotel? And I come up with name, a Trump Tower. Because it means a cheating tower.
I was thinking it might be nice that they could have beds, but also breakfast in the morning, like a croissant.
A croissant? It is crazy how I am first person to think of this idea.
So,
I call it Airbnb me.
So,
does he talk about what the aliens look like at all?
He kind of wavers back and forth. They're pretty similar to every other UFO description of aliens, which is vaguely Nordic. So kind of just like white, tall, very beautiful.
They're white? They're not green?
They're white. Yeah.
They look like people?
We're not going to get into it, but there's different races of aliens. They interact differently with other different species of aliens.
These sound like Pleiadians, if there's any alien nerds out there. The other thing to note as well, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll understand what is that.
Also, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. If you're not following any of this alien bullshit, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and there have been claims that Rael, quote unquote, stole this alien story from somebody else. I don't really care. There's a million and a half alien stories, and most of them are almost exactly the same.
Yeah.
So I would say these fall under what we would normally think of as Pleiadians as far as aliens go. White, vaguely Nordic beings.
There's only two alien stories that mean anything, and one of them is the Roswell incident, and the other one is Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why 2?
Okay. It's the one where Tommy Lee Jones really got to shine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Aww. Oh, man, I love Tommy Lee Jones.
So so they want to build an embassy, an alien B&B, and as he started telling other people about this, and because he had a publishing company, he really was able to get the word out. So by 1974, and this is only a year later, there was a conference in Paris, France. There were about 2,000 people. And from there, originally, it was called the MADECH, M-A-D-E-C-H, organization was born. MADECH is a double acronym in the French language. It stands for both Movement for the Welcoming of the Elohim Creators of Humanity, or Mouvement pour le Accueil des Elohim Créateurs de l'Humanité, and it also stands for Moses Preceded Elijah and the Christ. Moise Avancé et le Christ. In 1976, Rael had transformed MADECH into the International Raelian Movement, which is how we know them today.
Hmm.
Okay.
So allegedly, in the 70s, their numbers jumped through from a couple hundred people to about 3,000. And they claim that their current membership is somewhere between 85,000 to 90,000. That's courtesy of their record keeping and numbers.
Oh, yeah. You can always trust that.
Some internal leaked documents, quote unquote, put the number just below 20,000. But in reality, it's impossible to truly know for sure.
Yeah, because anyone can just say they're part of anything.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 20,000 and 90,000, I would say.
How do they track their members? Like, is it like they stand outside grocery stores with a signature, like a petition?
There's actually a very strict, like, requirements for membership.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which, if you want to boast more members, it's probably not great to be like, let's be super strict about it.
Oh, their membership is crazy. So on October 7th, 1975, roughly about a year after they kind of formed their initial group, Rael was contacted by one of the Elohim, who took him to another planet to meet Buddha, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. He stated that in his second book, Les Extraterrestres m'ont emmené sur les planètes, extraterrestrials took me to their planet, relates the teaching he received from these people. In this book, Rael describes harmonious and peaceable beings who were free of money, sickness, and war. This is pretty common with UFO theology, I guess, if you would call it. The idea that they've created Earth and they have the understanding that would lead to peace and the cessation of war and murder and killing, and that they come down and tell one person about it. Pretty much every UFO-based cult has this exact same story at the core, and it's eerily similar to all of them. So even other ones that we've covered on this show.
In the worst part, I got to hang out with Jesus and Buddha, and Jesus ate all of the hors d'oeuvres before I got there. And it's like, come on.
He didn't even let you have any?
No. No. He said he was baking more bread, but he's kind of dick. He said the dough take about 3 more days to rise.
And I'm like, bullshit. I know that you took those 3 loaves and a couple of fish and fed a bunch of people, and you're just hugging it to yourself.
Yes.
So based on this vision, Rael founded what we now would understand to be the Raelian Church. It has a quasi-clerical structure of 7 levels. Joining the movement requires an official apostasy, which is basically swearing off any other religion.
Apostasy?
Apostasy from other religions. Their ethics include striving for world peace, sharing democracy, and nonviolence.
Apostasy would only be a good requirement if it was literally swimming in a sea of spaghetti.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. It also advocates that you accept their structure of the universe. So what's really interesting about Raelianism is while they believe that aliens created Earth, they don't believe that those aliens created the universe. They believe that that's where it stops. They think that the universe has no creator and has always existed and will exist into perpetuity, and that these aliens, just like us, are beings on this plane that have basically no start or no end, and these aliens then created Earth either as an experiment or kind of for their own amusement.
It just seems weird, because if you believe, like, the whole thing about the chicken and the egg situation, no matter what religion or theology you believe in, is just like, if you go back far enough, it's like, who made the first thing? So yes, you have to believe that something is eternal.
Right. And so you're basically just like, well, who created the aliens then?
Right.
So this is kind of the interesting thing. A few episodes back, we talked about intelligent design, which can be, it can mean a number of things. So, like, it could mean, like me, where I'm like, I don't really care how we were created. God will tell me later. But I trust that he had a hand in it somehow. And also, you know, science proves stuff sometimes.
Have we considered the fact that maybe God did create us, but it was more of a side project and he did it while he was trying to save up money to be a race car driver?
We have not. And that is something we should consider.
It's a valid theory.
But intelligent design can also refer to this type of belief system where people are like, hey, aliens made Earth.
I think I'm going to start my own religion and... It's the belief that God is actually somebody that's a race car driver. So we believe in the almighty race. I think I'm going to call my religion racism.
You don't want to go, yeah, the master race?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's following the master race. What do you mean? Do you guys not want to be racist with me?
God's race.
Look, I'm a proud racist, okay? I believe in the master
race. Oh, jeez. So,
yikes.
Good Lord. During this vision, and this is part of where Raelians get their belief system from, Rael claimed to have met a 25,000-year-old human-like extraterrestrial named Yahweh, which a name we've encountered a lot, so he's kind of big, borrowing and stealing from a million different belief systems.
You don't look a day over 30,000.
He said that Elohim was the name of the primitive people of Earth, called members of his extraterrestrial race, who were those who came from the sky. So it's basically... he's saying that we gave them the name Elohim. It's very confusing and not worth really digging into. But here are some of the explanations that Yahweh gave Rael about Earth. He explained that the Garden of Eden, as described in the Bible, was actually just a large laboratory that was based on artificially constructed continent. He explains that Noah's Ark was actually a spaceship that preserved DNA that was used to resurrect animals through cloning, which... to be honest, as I'm reading through this, I'm like, this would make a really interesting movie. The Tower of Babel was a rocket that was supposed to reach the creator's planet, but failed. The Great Flood was a byproduct of a nuclear missile explosion that the Elohim sent. After tidal wave floods following the explosions receded, Elohim scattered the Israelites, or just the people on Earth at that point, and had them speak the language of other tribes.
Okay.
I love that anyone is like, God, that's crazy. It was aliens.
Yeah. They're like, I'm an atheist. I believe in aliens.
Yeah, like anytime you're like, it's like, where are you? Why? Why?
Right. There's so much effort to believe this. You might as well call it it's a religion at this point.
As a high priest in the new founded religion of racism,
right.
We believe, as a proud racist, I believe that all people are created equal regardless of race or anything like that.
That seems counterintuitive to your name.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
So they say that...
are you guys mocking the master race?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to regret it.
You're lactose intolerant.
You can bring me down with heavy whipping cream. You don't even have to force me to drink it. You could just put it in my fridge. I'll bring myself down.
Yeah, as we saw earlier today. God. We got to wrap up this episode before you start farting. So They do say that humanity has a chance to create life on other planets, but only if we're peaceful enough to stop war. So they basically believe if we can stop all war on our planet, we would somehow be able to create life on other planets.
So it's basically just like babysitter rules. Like, you guys can go to Chuck E. Cheese if you stop complaining.
100%. They also don't believe that an ethereal soul exists free of physical confinement. They believe that advanced supercomputers from the Elohim are recording the memories and DNA of human beings.
Okay.
Why?
It's gonna get weirder.
Okay. Okay.
So, when the Elohim releases information for the coming resurrection, people would be brought back from the dead, and the judgments upon them would be realized based on their actions in their past life. So, this is how they believe that they could stop, like, suicide bombers. Mm-hmm. Is that someone would, like, bomb a bus, and then they would bring them back to life to face judgment for their crimes. Mm. Like, that's their goal. They're really into cloning.
They're trying to press an inspect element on a soul?
Yes.
Yeah, but cloning doesn't even, like, cloning doesn't keep the memories.
So that's what they're trying to create and do. They want to be able to store memories so that they can clone people so that you can put your memories into new clones, in effect creating eternal life, because you could constantly clone and just reset your memories. This sounds like a great movie.
I'm actually reading a book that's based on this whole concept. It's called Old Man's War by John Scalzi.
Okay, there's also another book.
It's a whole
book.
Series. It's really good.
There's like a bunch of books about this concept.
Yeah, he has a whole like six
If you're done
book
reading
series.
Books, there's a few episodes of Black Mirror that deal with the same exact concept, wherein somebody commits a crime or is found guilty for a crime, and then they make clones that feel the, what's it called?
The emotions?
It's sentient. It's a sentient clone copy of that person's soul that is made of the 5 seconds before their death being tortured.
Oh.
And so you create this clone, and it's in a little keychain, and they sell it as souvenirs. And so each time you buy one, you're creating a sentient little being that knows that it will live in agony for the rest of its life and repeats that 5-second loop of pain and torture indefinitely.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. But that is essentially like the concept of, is if you create an entirely new life, does it deserve to be tortured from the... It's like the same... It's basically... in literature used as a metaphor for like why racism is bad, aside from my religion, why racism is bad, of like your parents, your races were born into that. Are you supposed to be punished for the way that those people are viewed, or what?
I mean, that's as complicated as this, which makes me not want to watch it.
It just sounds like the Spanish Inquisition got computers.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Much.
No, that's all I mean. It's just like that's the debate with all of this stuff, is it's like you're creating an entirely new life.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the guy that you're cloning, maybe he did a crime.
It's also the plot of the movie The Island.
Oh.
Where they raise clones to basically just like port their memories in whenever their body gets old, or to harvest their organs. Hmm.
Anyway. It's also chapter 13 of the Bible of Racism that I'm now writing.
So, as we mentioned, they're very dedicated to creating an extraterrestrial embassy. And because of all of their...
It sounded like they were more interested in creating an extraterrestrial embassy suites.
Boom! Hey.
Fucking nailed it, bro!
But because... they have so much of what would seem to be a Hebrew Judeo-Christian basis to a lot of their nomenclature in their religion, they decided that they should set up this embassy in Israel. I don't know why they thought that that would be the most peaceful place, because they're looking for a place of peace to set this
up. Yeah, this sounds like the intro to like a It's Always Sunny episode, where it's like, it's like we're going to find the most peaceful place. The gang goes to Israel.
Right, exactly. So there was a problem with that, though, and that was the Raelian logo. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Raelian logo.
Oh, yeah.
No.
For those of you that haven't, it is essentially the Star of David
with the swastika
in the middle.
Bitch, what? No, I have to see this.
Yeah,
what is
this?
Pull it up. Gaza. Bitch, what the fuck?
It's very close to the flag of Israel, but it is the Star of David with a swastika incorporated in the middle.
And they're claiming that they're trying to reclaim the swastika and make it a symbol of peace again.
Guys, it's over. Stop it. You can't have the name Hitler back. You can't have the mustache back. It's over.
So here's
I don't know. Michael Jordan took it back. He took the mustache. Yeah.
So they actually created a secondary logo to put on all of their stuff in Israel that instead of having a swastika, it has like just a swirl.
It was
right below that one.
So this one, edit guys, funny.
We gotta edit this.
So this one just looks like Judaism became a soft serve ice cream shop.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like a hypno Judaism.
Yeah, it's like if the hypno toad got like real into Rosh Hashanah. So they so far have not really been successful. They were able to at one point build a temple in Japan. Japan has wildly embraced Raelism. They have a huge contingent of members in Japan. And I think in part because of what we covered on our Om Shinrikyo episodes, following the war and kind of in the 80s, there is kind of a religious vacuum in Japan and a lot of things fill it. And Raelism is one of them.
Well, this stuff happens when things that are perceived as like monarchies crumble.
Right.
The same thing happened in Russia.
Yeah.
At the end of feudalism, people were like, oh, give us anything. And then at the end of, at the end of communism, but I think that's still going on.
The Soviet Union.
At the end of the Soviet Union. There we go. At the end of the Soviet Union, the same thing happened again. It's just what happens. You know, there's a need for,
So, need to believe in something.
Yeah. As we go into kind of their expansion through the 90s, I want to just briefly go over the basic structure of Raelianism. So they have 7 levels ascending from level 0 to level 6 instead of just 1 through 7. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
The top 4 levels consist of quote-unquote guides. The level 6 guide, known as the Guide of Guides, they're really not that creative.
That's essentially the human equivalent of the You Are Here sticker on a map.
Yeah, it's a dog named Dog is what it is. But the Guide of Guides has the final say on who becomes a level 5 bishop guide or a level 4 priest guide. Bishops and priests promote lower level members 1 level at a time during annual seminars. Each bishop or priest can propose a new guide as long as the candidate is from a level below their own. Guides can assist regional guides, level 3 and above, in their assigning of non-guide members to levels 3.
Oh, Paige, hold on. This isn't the website. This is my instruction manual for D&D.
Yeah, it's literally that complicated. Like, roll a d20 to see if you get promoted.
It says here, I'm the guide of guides.
I have plus 5 dexterity. No surprise.
Looks like they rolled a d20 to see if their logo happened, and they got a critical fail.
So Rael has held the highest position. He's been the guide of guides for multiple 7-year terms, basically forever.
Yeah,
he's just the guy until he dies, basically. So from 1980 to 1992, so we went through the 70s. They've grown now. They've got thousands of members at this point, admittedly. So by 1980, from 1980 to 1992, Rael and his movement became increasingly global. In 1980, he wrote his 5th book called Sensual Meditation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Because when I saw him, I'm like, this looks like the kind of dude that sells sunglasses out on Venice Beach. But also, he looks like he wrote a book about sex.
He looks like every guy that you see in an episode of HBO's Real Sex giving, like, cunnilingus seminars. Like, if you ever been up late and watched an episode of HBO's Real Sex and wondered, like, who the hell signs up for these seminars, he's leading. Like, that's what this is like.
Hey, this is a really great seminar on eating a girl out, but I really gotta know, what the fuck is up with this PowerPoint? This is just pictures of
it's just pictures of peaches.
Yeah, I don't get it.
So they also published it in Japanese as part of the Raelian mission to Japan. 2 years later, Africa became another target, though not as successful.
Yeah. I wonder why.
So in regards to sensual meditation, women make up only about 1/3 of the membership in the Raelian church.
Go figure.
Yikes.
So although they like to tout that they have more members, because they've actually got 2 major groups of women in the Raelian church. The Order of Angels, founded in the 1990s, it consists of over 100 Raelian women who call for femininity and refinement for all of humanity. Their initiation rites include declaring an oath or making a contract in which one agrees to become the defender of the Raelian ideology and its founder, Rael. The Order of Angels has its own hierarchy of Rose Angels and White Angels. As of 2003, there were 6 Rose Angels and, let's see, 6 Rose Angels and 160 White Angels.
Well, how many Charlie's Angels?
None. None. Charlie was still in prison at this point.
Oh, shit.
In the early 2000s, after another scandal that we'll cover in just a little bit broke, the Daily Telegraph wrote that members of this order not only provide sexual pleasure for Rael, but also donate eggs and other gametes towards efforts for human clothing.
Oh, you mean like breakfast
food? Yikes.
No, I mean like they're baby farms.
Those eggs are not having scrambled.
Baby. Yeah, they're donating eggs so that those eggs can be used in cloning.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This would never happen in racism, by the way, guys. We respect everyone for who you are.
Yeah. There's another women's group. That is a pro-sex feminist group within the Raelian Church. They're called Rael's Girls.
that is the opposite of pro-sex feminism.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's my pro-sex feminist group. It's your gender and then the fact that I own you.
Yeah. So the group of women in the movement, they're largely against the suppression of feminine acts of pleasure, including sexual intercourse with men or women. Rael's Girls solely consist of women who work in the sex industry. And the women of Rael's Girls say that there is no reason to repent for performing a striptease or being a sex worker.
Does he kind of pimp them out a little bit?
A little bit. In 2004, they were featured in a pictorial in the October issue of Playboy.
Interesting.
So they're not like flirty fishing that we know of, but he's very in favor of them remaining in sex work.
That is. Flirty fishing is the act of using hot young women to attract
new members.
Yeah, mainly men into it.
So that's why there's more men than women in this cult.
Well, they're not necessarily doing that. I think it's just if you're looking for the demographic that believes that aliens exist, it's pretty heavily men.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Also, it's pretty heavy men.
Currently, their pet project for this particular group is the Free the Nipple movement.
What kind of petting? Heavy petting?
I mean, with free nipples, who's to say? So around this same time, Rael founded a company called Clonaid. Originally known as Valiant Venture Limited Corporation in 1997.
And later known as Gatorade.
And then he handed it over to one of his angels, essentially. In 2002, the company claimed that an American woman underwent a standard cloning procedure that led to the birth of a daughter. Her name was Eve. On December 26, 2002. Very few people believe that this actually happened, but...
You guys, you have to check this shit out. So what happened is I inseminate through the penis, and in 9 months, she make clone. It is crazy. It has never been done before.
But it attracted national authorities and the mainstream media to look further into the cult status, which actually grew their numbers.
Fuck, of course.
Yeah.
Yikes.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. Fuck me.
They are claiming basically that through cloning, they can combine an accelerated growth process to basically take someone from baby to adult really fast with some sort of mind transfer.
They just read John Scalzi's novels. That's what they
probably
did.
It's very possible. As opposed to what we would think of as normal cloning, they seek to both genetically clone individuals, rapidly accelerate their growth, and... use either nanotechnology or expanded cells to transfer the mind and personality of donors. It's very complicated. There's no science behind it, but they're very intent on it. They've told lawmakers that banning the development of human cloning was comparable to outlawing medical advances such as antibiotics, blood transfusions, and vaccines. If you want to join them, there is an initiation ceremony.
Oh, of course. Okay. Please tell me they jump you in.
Here is the coolest part. You can watch this ceremony on YouTube because Ross and Carrie did it. And because the Raelians let people come in just to see what they're about.
Okay.
They're very transparent to basically be like, hey, if you doubt us, you don't think we're real, come check us out. So it's, yeah, it's kind of interesting. So
it's not them that I don't think it's real. It's their beliefs I don't think are real.
I know. Their major initiation is baptism or the transmission of the cellular plan. It's performed by upper level members in the Raelian clergy known as guides, which we covered.
The way you join our movement is we take your cellular device and we move it from Verizon to AT&T. It is the transfer of the cellular plan.
It yikes.
It's actually worse.
Oh my god. Worse than switching to AT&T?
I have AT&T and I've had no problems.
Fuck AT&T. I got Google. Also, well, AT&T's, please sponsor us.
Yeah. So Raelian baptism, known as the transmission of a cellular plan. Cellular refers to your organic cells of the body, and the plan refers to the genetic makeup of you as an individual. So this baptism involves a guide member laying water onto the forehead of a new member, and it basically transmitting your cells up to the mothership.
So you're uploading yourself to the cloud?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Oh my god. So they only hold it 4 times a year.
Don't they know you can leak your DNA that way?
Oh, to the cloud?
Yeah.
Along with all your nudes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So baptisms can only be performed on 4 special days in the year. There's also usually conventions that accompany them.
It's June 9th. That's a good one. 6-9.
They're just as weird.
It's April 20th. I got to do that one. What are they?
So they mark anniversaries in the Raelian calendar. The first one is August 6th, which marks the atomic bombing of Hiroshima in 1945.
What the fuck?
I told you they were really big in Japan.
Do they believe aliens did it?
I believe so.
They
believe aliens.
Or aliens gave us the
nuclear technology?
Possibly.
They did talk about how all those things that started the creation of Earth were aliens having nuclear battles.
Exactly.
So
if you believe that aliens gave technology to America to destroy your country, why would you want to like them?
Oh, I don't know.
It's just a confusing, it seems conflicting.
You. Yeah, well, you know, that's the only hole in this.
Yeah. You were like, I can't believe people believe this for this one reason.
So the next date is December 13th, which marks the day in 1973 that Rael said he had his first personal encounter with the extraterrestrials, and October 7th, in which they took him in the spacecraft. And then the first Sunday in April, which Raelians believe is the date when the dark-skinned, and it says dark-skinned, extraterrestrials created Adam and Eve. This is really similar to Jacobian philosophy.
Some of those things aren't on the same level with each other, because you were like, this is the day that the bombs dropped on Hiroshima.
And some other shit I did in April.
This is the day where our lords came in contact with our prophet. This is the day that I took a ride in a pretty cool spaceship. Yeah.
So centering around these conventions is usually sensual meditation, a lot like the book that he published. So, sensual meditation is a set of exercises written by Rael from their website. Here's a breakdown of what sensual meditation is. By the way, all of these are available for free download. I was going to download them, except that you had to give them your contact information. And I respect Ross and Carrie for doing so, but for me, no thank you.
I just make up fake shit.
I thought about it, but I think they send it to that email.
Yeah. So just make a fake email.
Yeah, okay, but I still didn't. No, thanks. So, sensual meditation. The human being is linked by his or her receptors, the senses, to the infinite, which surrounds and composes him or her. By developing one's sensuality, one develops one's capacity to feel connected with the infinite, to feel infinite oneself. Sensual meditation is the instruction manual given to us to teach us how to master the harmonizing possibilities within the brain, by those best placed to know, those who design the human being, allowing one to deprogram the Judeo-Christian inhibitions of guilt, while at the same time not falling to the ethereal mysticisms of Eastern teachings. I love that he's like, Judeo-Christians are prudes, but we're not as weird as the Eastern mysticisms. Like,
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Dick. Sensual meditation allows the human to discover his or her body, especially to learn how to use it to enjoy sounds, colors, smells, tastes, caresses, and particularly a sexuality felt with all of one's senses, so as to experience the cosmic orgasm, infinite and absolute, which illuminates the mind by linking the one who reaches it with the universe he or she is composed of and composes.
I like that it's like it allows you to come in to like incorporate different things into your sex, including colors, which just means that there's one person that has to be like, hey, you know what really gets me going? Green. God, I can't even have a blue or a yellow thing touch.
As I mentioned, they've got seminars. Most of them accompany those days where you can change your cellular plan to AT&T. And there have been some reports back of what goes on at these gatherings. So music has been a feature of the large gatherings. At night, Raelians have had multi-ethnic cabaret performances. I couldn't find anything more about that. They say that occasionally...
Like the aliens would have wanted, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Occasionally, they've used colored bracelets to indicate whether or not they wanted to be alone in a couple or simply meet people. It's basically like a giant swinger convention. Yeah.
So I gotta ask, which one would you rather go to? The gathering of the Raelisms or Rael?
Rael, Lord Rael.
The gathering of Lord Rael or the gathering of the Juggalos?
Juggalos. Hands down, still Juggalos.
So you're putting down those colored bracelets for colored Faygo?
Yes. Hey. Yes, I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This Faygo is brown and it indicates that I am single, but I am willing to mingle.
But only butt stuff.
Oh, yeah. Only butt stuff. For what? Sure. Also, by the way, whoop whoop.
So.
Just only butt.
Well, somebody who has brown Faygo.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So
brown Faygo is the white pants of the clown posse community.
Rough. I still don't understand. No. I don't understand why white pants means anal. I feel like brown pants should mean anal.
Because, yeah.
Like, just safety.
I think brown spot means anal.
Gross. Those are your boobs. KNBC one time called the annual Raelian seminars a cross between a nudist camp and a New Age retreat. And a Calgary Sun reporter also observed somebody masturbating and like observing their own genitals, and the masturbating as part of like the meditation
in public.
It's not like out. It's in like a conference room or something.
Okay.
Man, you don't understand. I looked at my bracelet and this shit is green.
So a French journalist went to a seminar in 1991 and actually taped couples having sexual intercourse in tents, which, by the way, not cool if you did not have their consent.
No. Yeah.
They brought some negative publicity, but it ended up kind of like coming back on that French reporter. The tents were actually put up for the privacy of attendees who were sharing dormitories. And so this reporter was actually ejected from the conference and stuff like that.
As you should be for performing sexual acts of people without their permission.
Yeah, right. For sure.
So here's a quick breakdown of their stances on a number of things.
Oh, yay! Can't wait for this.
So Raelians are pro-GMO. They're okay. Like, yeah, make all the science fruit you want. they're anti-war. In 2006, about 30 topless Raelians took part in a anti-war demonstration.
They said they're anti-war. They got real naked and started a war. Also, I like that they're like, we're anti-war. Learn all about it by come celebrating on the day the bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
Right?
They're staunchly anti-Catholic. So this is kind of interesting.
Okay.
So they, in Canada... made some serious waves because they just kept aggressively giving condoms to Catholic teenagers.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
It was really, really funny.
That is arguably a good thing.
I mean, if you're on a college campus with your tits out handing out condoms, like, you're gonna be popular.
Oh, right. For sure.
They also very publicly would accuse people of pedophilia within the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church ended up like firing back and being like, you can't say that, that's slander. But then, you know, as we've seen in the news recently, maybe it wasn't.
Hell yeah, dog.
So in Raelism, sexual predators and guides who force quote-unquote missionary ideas against members are excommunicated by the Raelian Church for a minimum of 7 years.
Wait, missionary position ideas? What kind of missionary ideas?
They're
basically man on top, woman on bottom.
No. They're equating it as like, I am your spiritual guide and I'm going to use that against you in a sexual way.
Oh. So they're banned if they do that?
They're banned for a minimum of 7 years because...
Oh, that's pretty dope.
Quote, unquote, this is the amount of time Raelians believe it takes for all of a person's biological cells to be regenerated.
Okay. I don't think that that's
accurate.
That
doesn't make it's science. Not.
It's
so they're
not.
Anti-missionary is what you're saying?
Yeah.
How do they, what do they think about reverse cowgirl?
I think they're into it.
Hey.
It sounds like they're into a lot of it.
Consensually, of course.
Consensually.
What about consent? It sounds like there's a lot of fucking going on, but so far it sounds like it's all pretty above board.
It's all above board from what I can tell. It's okay. All consensual. A lot of it's with Rael. But
consensually with Rael?
As far as we know.
He's not like ordering
consenting
them.
Adults. I mean, yeah. They look kind of like Corey Feldman's angels where it's just like they chose to hang out there. I don't really understand. But it seems to all be consensual.
Very sensual.
Yeah, so Raelians are encouraged to do...
What's the sensual and consensual?
Oh. They're encouraged to do as they feel right, which we have encountered in a number of hermetic religions. But they're encouraged to do that whether that matches the rules of the culture in which they live or not. Problematic. Because if I think it's right to kill somebody...
Yeah. That's not good.
It's not good.
That would never fly in my new religion of racism. We believe that killing anybody is wrong.
So...
I'm taking it back. It's what I'm doing.
This is going to be ineffective and a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also have a number of UFO displays, one of which is called UFO Land.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And they're currently operating today. So
I am drinking coffee out of a mug that says Space Age Restaurant. I love aliens.
So, yeah, Rael is still kicking it. Kicking it and dicking it.
Kicking it. Kicking it, dicking it, licking it.
Kicking it, dicking it.
Read all about it in my new book.
Licking it, flipping it, hitting it from the back.
Hey.
Yikes.
Drop it like that.
Yeah, so what we're dealing with here is a whole group of consensual adults fucking each other while they talk at length about aliens with PowerPoint presentations that do not match.
Nothing turns me on like alien talk.
Oh my god.
Call 1-866 for sexy beep aliens.
So that is basically realism.
Where do I join? I gotta know.
You can join here. I mean, you can join online.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Hold on. I gotta... Hold on. I'm in the database.
Oh, great. I want to see those pictures.
Oh, my God. This is so weird.
It's very strange.
It's so funny how I can start off and be like, fuck these people. And then be like, all right, these people are weird. And then just be like, that.
They're harmless.
Arguably,
I feel like
good.
They're pretty harmless.
Yeah.
They're not only harmless, but they are doing a little bit of good, giving condoms to
teenagers.
I'm down with it, dude.
When I read, because I was like, oh no, I was like, what have they gotten into with the Catholics? And they were just like aggressively handing out condoms, and I was
and
like,
calling out the hypocrisy right. of pedophilia among
yeah.
the ranks.
I'm
yeah.
a fan.
All right, Rael. All right,
I see you. Okay,
but
boo. I see you.
You may occasionally have to lick the nuts of a Frenchman and a wife beater. How would this cult be okay with you, with your feelings about the French?
Oh, these dirty fucking bastards. All right. Fuck, man.
I should also note that at one point in like 2002, a bunch of Japanese Raelians bought him a race car.
Oh my God. I was going to ask, did he ever
what?
Become a race car driver?
He successfully raced for like 2 years and was not that bad.
How
like
old
he never
was he
finished
at the time?
Last. How in his old? 50s.
Easily. Oh my God, that's really old to be a race car driver.
Dude.
Well, Rael is known for two things, and it's always wanting a race car, and he never finishes last.
Hey.
But that's the thing. It's like, if you, like, he wasn't a race car driver before that necessarily. Like,
yeah.
Maybe as a kid a bit, but like, if I just entered a race,
life.
I would lose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure. So the fact that he didn't, like, he didn't win any, but he didn't actively lose any. He means he's pretty good.
One time yeah. I went to a go-karting thing with my friends when I was living in San Diego, And I got in the go-kart, and it was like the real cart, you know?
I've
it's
done
not
those,
like boomers.
Yeah.
And I kept fucking losing. And
that's
I was like,
hard to do,
I was like,
man.
Dude, I think there's something wrong with my cart. And the guy who didn't, English was not his first language. And so he tried to explain it to me in a very thick Spanish accent, or Mexican accent, but he's speaking Spanish. And he said, you're too fat. Slow down the car. So it is insane for me to think that I would be anywhere as good as any other race car driver, no matter how good my skills are. Because if you know anything about racing, it's they try very hard to keep the weight
reduce
on the car
weight,
down.
Yeah.
And so he actually raced in like 7 or 8 races and then decided to stop racing. But and I mean like not like races
Seinfeld
that they
it?
Set up, like real ass racing.
Yeah.
Like entered in actual races.
That's crazy.
It's fucking nuts. Yeah. And also they allegedly cloned a bitch.
Oh man, I have so many conflicting feelings about this.
Yeah, I mean,
just
I
like he has so many conflicting feelings.
Hey,
I feel like if you went to one of their seminars, it wouldn't be the people that you wanted to see naked.
No.
Oh, definitely. Just like any nudist colony.
Yeah.
Anytime.
It's the people that have a lot of confidence and time on their hands.
Mm-hmm. I used to do nude modeling, and my first nude modeling experience...
For artistic things,
yeah. And my first experience was a nude modeling class, and I was 18, and the people that want to get in a group and take their clothes off around each other are all over the age of 50 and not good looking. So it's kind of like, it was like, oh, they were the first penises I saw, but they weren't the first penises you wanted to see.
I feel like
see,
the first penis I saw was in like a life drawing class.
Yeah,
with nude
it was
models.
Just like, yeah. Okay, this is a lot of people
okay,
hanging out.
Okay, this is
naked.
Actually pretty cool. I can be around all of these naked people, and I can just paint something, and it's going to be fun. Oh, what is that? Is that green?
No.
The girl who sat next to me in that class was like, I already got my nipples pierced one direction, but I want to get them pierced again so they crisscross. And I was just like,
bitch, what?
Why are you talking to me?
Oh, no.
I just want to get back on BART.
That's the name of two different pop stars. One Direction,
Crisscross.
Oh, now every time I think of One Direction and Crisscross,
I'm
just going to
picture
nipple piercings.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. That makes those bands so much better.
Yeah. So that was realism.
Damn.
Shit.
Pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. I'm kind of on board.
I know.
Bit,
well,
yeah.
And as we were going through the bonus episode not too long ago, and people asked us which one we would join. This is probably the most harmless.
Yeah.
It's all consensual, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, and it's all adults. There don't seem to really be many, if any, kids around.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah.
It's because they believe in that contraception, yo.
Hey. I also, I do like that it aligns with my already religious beliefs that life is all about the race, you know? You're just trying to win that master race. I think it's been summed up by our heavenly hymn. Life is the highway. I want to ride it all night
you
long.
You make beats. How
if
are
going
you tone
my
deaf?
Way, I want to drive it all night long.
I can't so tell if painful. This is Gregorian chant or special needs.
Through life all the cities and all these towns.
Please
it's
stop.
In my blood and it's all around. I love you now like I loved you then. This is the road and these are the hands.
No,
stop it.
It's I know the song and
from
that's
Mozambique
why
to
gosh.
Those Memphis nights, the Khyber Pass to Vancouver lights, knock me down and back up again. You're in my blood. I'm not a lonely man.
Okay, holy shit. Let's,
yeah, these
let's,
are really
let's
creepy.
Put this to, for an upbeat, life is a highway. I wanna ride it all night long.
Life is a highway. I wanna ride it all night long.
Yeah. So I think for this one, yeah, it's harmless and, you know, rock out with your cock out.
Consensually.
Yeah, consensually.
Yeah. Well, shit. If you want to follow my new religion, I'm calling it racism. I'm the lead racist. Or if you want to follow my D&D campaign where the highest members of racism play D&D, I'm actually playing as a grand wizard right now. What are you guys looking at me for?
Oh, no.
I don't get it.
You're definitely more of a...
I don't like your outfit.
I'm sorry, these are just sheets. It's laundry day. follow me on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Mondo Does Stuff, M-A-N-D-O Does Stuff.
And if you want to switch up your cellular plan, you can contact me at Paige Wesley on Twitter and at Rampage Wesley on Instagram.
And if you want to hear more about sensual racism, you can follow me on all the social media at Sundress Comic or listen to my podcast, Andrea Loves Everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody.
I only want to hear about it if it's consensual sensual racism. If you want to follow the show on social media, you can follow us on Instagram at Cult Podcast.
Or on Twitter at Cult Podcast Show.
You can also send us one of them that their fancy new emails. Send that to cultpodcastshow@gmail.com.
And you can upload your cellular plan to our cloud by sending it in a box to 3756 West Avenue 40, Suite K, number 237,
like the Shining,
Los Angeles, California, 90065.
Yeah.
And for this one, I'm going to say don't drink Ryle's sweat. He looks very sweaty.
God.
And don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Unless it's consensual.
Mm. Yeah. Bye.
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 Do you guys really think it's a bad idea to be a racist?
Yeah, a little bit.